Lord, may I speak and may we all hear in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are actually in the middle of a mini-series on Galatians, which has been the lectionary epistle for the last few weeks. We had a diversion last week as Richard was preaching his farewell sermon to us. So a brief reminder of maybe where we got to, or if you haven't heard one before, just to set the scene for you. Somebody described the letter to the Galatians as one of the most influential letters in the New Testament in terms of the effect and guiding nature of it to the early church and to the future of Christianity, so that it didn't just stay a Jewish sect but spread around the world to everyone. He describes it as being written in the stress of deep emotion. Paul, you can imagine Paul, getting really, really worked up. He often got really, really worked up, and you can tell that from his letters, but he is really getting to the point in Galatians. What was this stress of deep emotion? Well, he was seeking to counter the move to Judaize the early Christian church by insisting that Gentile converts be circumcised and made to obey the whole Jewish law as found in what we know as the first five books of the Old Testament. Now remember, Paul himself started life as a strict and law-abiding Jew, very keen to stamp out the threat from the followers of Jesus, until he himself had that dramatic encounter with Jesus en route to Damascus. Paul remained a Jew all his life, but his thinking was transformed. He didn't have a problem of seeing the law as important, but he was quite clear that his eternal salvation lay in his faith in the love and sacrifice of his Lord Jesus Christ, but not by his trying to satisfy or fulfill the demands of the Jewish law. That was a total change about revelation for him, and he wanted to share that with everybody. It was his message wherever he went, and it was the message to which the people in Galatia, which is northeastern Turkey-ish, middle Turkey-ish, where he spent quite a lot of his time on his journeys around. He didn't actually go further north, he was a little bit in the south, but the church spread into Galatia. And he met people from there. And they had originally responded to that, as he says in the letter. We ourselves, he says, are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Sounds a bit... Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. Very clear. He said, you know, this is what I was telling you, and you took this on board. And now they seem to have been slipping away. So upset is Paul, and anxious to get them away from this wrong practice, he's actually quite rude to them in the letter. Normally, if you look at the headings of all Paul's letters, they are sort of fairly standard heading. Letter from Paul, or Paul and Timothy, or whoever, but it always told you who it was from, which was quite normal practice in those days. You didn't wait till the end of the letter to sign it, you told them who was writing. And then grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Standard good greeting. And normally in his letters, he then goes on to commend them, each church, for something. You know, I remember you always in my prayers, your faithfulness, your goodness to the people around you. There's always something positive at the beginning of his letters, but not here. Not here. There's no commendation of their faith and perseverance. Rather, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ. That's telling them. And later, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And imagine you're the people of Galatia and I'm reading this letter that's arrived from Paul. You know, quite a direct rebuke. He goes on to say, did you receive the Spirit by doing works of the law or by believing what you heard when you heard about Jesus and his death and resurrection and his love for you? Which are you doing? And that brings us on to today's section of the Gospel in chapter 5. And it starts, the chapter starts with, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For freedom Christ has set us free. The demands of the law, which God stand there, have been met by the death and resurrection of Jesus. No one can earn their way into eternal life. Paul says this and tells us it over and over again in his letters. It's a free gift from God. This truth is at the centre of Christianity. Our life in Christ, our salvation, our entry into eternal life, right here and now, depends on what Jesus has done for us already, not what we earn by however many good works we try to do. That's very simple, and yes, one would want to discuss going on living the Christian life, but bottom line, if we believe in Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, then we are accepted by God. And this, I think, this idea that it is God's gift to us, not what we have earned, is what makes Christianity, the core of Christianity, different, I believe, from any other faith. So if you're talking to people about that, talk about that. How do they see it? And what do they believe that their eternal destiny depends? It's a good talking point. So, it's a free gift, and we don't have to earn it. It's a gift from God. He has given it to us because he loves us. Whoopee! We're free. We might respond. We can do what we like. Well, no, actually. Let's hear a bit more. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Actually, I think if Paul had stopped to think a bit more, he would have put the first commandment in as well, that is, love God with everything you've got, and then love your neighbour as yourself. But he was, I could see him walking up and down dictating, and he was really getting carried away, and, you know, you mustn't. You must commit to one another. You must love your neighbour as yourself. Becoming, he describes it as becoming slaves to one another. In just one sentence, Paul goes from our freedom to us becoming slaves to one another, voluntarily, and thereby fulfilling the law, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And this is one of the many paradoxes within Christianity. We are free, but we need to choose to become slaves of Christ and of one another. I was reminded that another one is the requirement to be obedient to the governing authorities. We are free in Christ, but we live in a society, and Paul himself in other letters made it quite clear that we are to be subject to the worldly authorities. Only going against them if they really are going against God. God comes first, the other authorities come next. And I've had to remind myself of that over the last 2 days. It's not always easy to accept a different viewpoint, but living in a democracy means abiding by a majority decision without resorting either to violence or to the verbal defamation of character and the infighting that we're beginning to see, sadly, at the moment. So this freedom and yet committing ourselves to one another, to love our neighbour as ourselves, doesn't come very naturally to us, and God knows this. So what do we do about it? We need, as the saying goes, all the help we can get. And this is where Paul takes his readers on. This is what you should be doing. You are free, but you need to exercise that freedom for God and each other. And he describes as that as living by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. None of us can have come to a point where we love and are committed to Jesus Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. No one can come to Christ unless the Father call him. I can look back and see people brought across my path, particularly in my later teens, who knew Jesus in a way that I didn't. That was God's doing. I even sort of thought, my thought processes kept turning back to things of God. That was the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I can remember kneeling down by my bed and wanting to praise God. And I hadn't got the words. I wasn't used to praying out loud. So, thank God for the prayer book, I was using some of the set. I used to say the Gloria. I didn't know how else to praise God on my own at first. So I used the words of the Gloria to thank him. That was the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Nobody told me to do it. He led me that way. We all need the Holy Spirit to be able to love our neighbour as ourselves. Why? Because I've said, and we would all admit, it doesn't sort of come naturally to us. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives which helps us to change, to grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. What a list. Can I commend that you read this passage and think about it? We're all expected to be like trees bearing good fruit for God. I guess most of us here were confirmed at some stage in our lives. The bishop prayed. What did he pray? Confirm, O Lord, this your child, X, with your Holy Spirit. We have been prayed for, and it was an opportunity for God to come to us. Some people have a terrific experience at that point. I didn't. A lot of people don't. But that doesn't matter. It is the fact that we are in a position to be open to God working in our lives. That is what happened when we were confirmed. How have we let God work on since that day? For me, that was rather a long time ago. It is the work of God in our lives that enables us to be salt and light in our communities. We simply can't be good Christians just by our own efforts. And God doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He expects us to turn to Him at all times for His strength and ask Him for His strength and His power. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for us to ask Him to help us. And we let ourselves get so bogged down. I was really bogged down about something I had to do, a very practical thing about organising a meeting and getting minutes out and things like that. And I seemed to be going around in circles, and I realised I hadn't sort of sat down and just talked to God about it. And I did. You know, I'm saying, Lord, I lay it before you. Please help me to get this sorted out and help the... I was trying to do a doodle poll, and I wasn't getting on very well. And I prayed about it, and I asked God for help. Well, that's what we should be doing all the time. And guess what? The doodle poll went through. Very practical things. Do we think about God only when we're at church, or do we think about God most of the time during the days? Do we ask for God's help and strength when we have difficult decisions? What did we pray about before we voted last week? Are we allowing God to be an active part of our everyday life? Do we ask Him to keep us on the straight and narrow path? I believe that this is what God, Paul, is writing about when he says, live by the Spirit. Sadly, we only have to read the newspapers or watch the TV to see what life without the Spirit of God is like. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, some of those, I think, I presume, sort of pass us by. But let's be honest, aren't there some in that list that we need to own up to? The good news is, we can sort this out with God. We can receive his forgiveness, and with his help and his love, turn our back on whatever it is. We do not have to live our lives without the Holy Spirit. We can be the free people of God that he intended. Paul longed above all that the Galatians should know this freedom to serve Christ and not be trapped in the demands of the Jewish law. That is why he wrote so passionately to them. God wants us to know that kind of freedom too. Not love God and do as you like, but love God with your whole being and love your neighbour as yourself. Amen.